You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. Feller, he is the pre- and post-game host here on Sports 1440 for all the older games. Landon Ferraro joins us. Landon, my man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Excellent. I want to get your thoughts. I don't know how much of that game, because I don't even know if you're in BC, it's probably blocked. You can't even watch it online. But the question for the Oilers comes down to, I think, their number 6 and 7 defense spot. You got Stetcher, you got Emerson, and then you got the new big guy, Alex Regula. Now, all three of them would require waivers if the Oilers make that an option to send down. Regula hasn't played in 18 months, but big body, and I haven't minded him in the preseason. I actually thought, like, the first game, I was like, ooh, but he's really improved. And I think when you haven't played in 18 months, your timing's off. But, you know, Stetcher and Emerson are obviously a lot more proven. What do you think they do on their defense spot?
I mean, I'd have to say the same. Like, he looked pretty good last night. You know, I was able to watch it through the Sportsnet Plus app,
okay,
which had to battle my way into that one, but got in and was able to watch it. So it was nice, but, you know, he's big. He can move. He can handle a puck. And, like, it's pieces that look really good and could be a good piece for this team. I think, you know, it's tough when you start looking at, you know, your options between the three. I think you're probably a little more worried about Regula getting taken just because he is younger and you don't know where the, you know, the full upside is. And he's shown pretty well considering being out for that long. Like, that's a long time, especially for a young guy to be out and to come in and have the confidence and make plays that you're used to making. Like, it's one thing, you know, I always found, like, I missed some decent amount of time a couple times with injury, and coming back, the hardest part I found was your mind says, okay, make this play, make this move. And just your hands didn't quite work. They're not, like, quite up to speed yet. And you just, like, you think the game quick enough, but you couldn't execute it. And the fact that he's making some really good moves from the top, he gets himself, you know, he got himself into the slot a couple times last night and was decent defensively as well. Like, I think if you're looking at it, like, I think you probably take a chance of one of the older ones, you know, if they can squeak through. I think that it's a bit more known what you're getting. There's not the upside there. And, you know how it is at the beginning of the year, like right before the deadline for rosters, like there's a million guys that go on. So you hope to kind of squeak some of those guys through then. But Regula just seems to me like someone that will just, you know, perk up some ears a little bit more.
Well, size matters on the blue line. There's no question about it. And the other thing is, Stan Bowman was the one, and I know that, you know, hey, they acquired Emerson too, but when Stan Bowman's the GM who claims him, it's just always a little bit different, right? I just know it is. Like, hey, we picked this guy, you know, they invested in him. Obviously, he rehabbed all of last year. So, you know, now who knows? I don't know if he'll get claimed, but sometimes you're leery of it. So you say, geez, you know, like, you know, would Troy Stetcher get claimed? Maybe, right? He might, but they might look and say, well, we feel maybe in the long run, we're better off, you know, with Regula, who's younger and he's bigger. So, and those are the tough decisions. Like, he might not be as good as Stetcher, because the one thing about Stetcher is that guy's a gamer. Like, he's played 500 NHL games because he knows how to play.
Well, he knows how to play, but the one thing that you definitely can't argue against Stetcher is, like, you get maximum effort every time he's on the ice. Whether he makes the right play or not, like, he is fully in. And that's something that is hard to let go, for sure. You know, I think the fact that Bowman was, you know, part of it that brought Regula from Detroit to Chicago, so he knows him from there already. So just saying, like, having that knowledge beforehand, and then the fact that they'd claim him coming or still injured, essentially, just shows, like, he trusts and knows that there's potential there. But I think the bigger piece is, like, he knows the person and what his work ethic is and how he, you know, goes at his craft. Like, those are the bigger things when you're talking about a younger guy as well in that, you know, mid-20 range, is, like, knowing knowing the personality and what type of worker he is. So, like, clearly for him to take him last year, he's confident and on those sides.
Landon Farrar joins us, Sports 1440. Howard and Savoy, what'd you make of those two youngsters last night?
I mean, I'd say the first thing that I've noticed, you know, I'm not saying that I was, like, focusing on them, but when they're on the ice, it looks faster. I mean, Savoy is an unbelievable skater. You know, he moves extremely well. But, you know, if you look at the team in the past couple of years, like, there isn't a ton of speed up and down the lineup. And injecting those two young guys that obviously come with a lot of excitement, and I don't mean from the media and fan side, but, like, within themselves, like, excited for the opportunity and really pushing the envelope, trying to make their case to be on their team. I thought that they made some good plays. They were around the puck. You know, the work on the power play before Nurse's goal, like, I thought they moved around well and made smart decisions, not hope plays. Like, all those things, I thought they looked pretty good.
You look at, like, I'll say this, Howard's been a better skater for me, and, you know, than what some of the scouting reports I read. Like, he, now maybe he just got quicker in the offseason, I don't know, but speed to me hasn't been an issue with him at all. I think it's clear that the coach really trusts Matt Savoy. He's playing him in every situation. Obviously, he's not going to be on the number one power play when the big dogs come in here, but, you know, I think they trust him, and they're very different players. I think Howard's probably a little bit more of an offensive threat, whereas Savoy at this stage, and he does have 1 year extra of pro hockey, is maybe a little bit more reliable defensively, and that's okay, right? You need different guys on the squad. When you have him, you have Howard, then you throw in Mangiapane. Do you think on a playoff roster, because regular season is very different, on a playoff roster, can all three of them be in your top nine, do you think?
I think that's hard to answer right now, because, I mean, obviously I know you're going off of size, but, you know, Mangiapane has, you know, it's not like he's going out to crush guys, but, like, he has a bit of bite in his game. I think you need to see Howard and Savoy in how they play through the season, and, you know, how many games do they get in? What does it look like? How do they handle themselves? I think that'll be, you know, the biggest test and what'll give us our answer. I think right now it's tough to see all three in, but in saying that, like, if Savoy finds his way and can be a good two-way player for them, be on the penalty kill, because there's no reason that he shouldn't be. He skates extremely well. He's smart. You know, he can stick in a battle, even though at his size. Like, I think that they can find ways to force their hand to where they need to be all three in. And let's be honest, too, like, looking at the team right now and what they have, even when Hyman comes back, like, they're going to need those players to have good years. Not saying that the season rests on those three, especially the two young kids having these unbelievable seasons. But, you know, the secondary scoring has been an issue in Edmonton, and you're always looking to the top two guys that it's, you know, I mean, how many games last year was, even with McDavid out, like, the game was, it was up to Dreisaitl if they were going to win or lose. Right. Like, there was a lot of instances like that. So I think with the two young kids, like, they have a real opportunity, because they're going to get a good opportunity just because of how the makeup is. Like, there's a chance there for them to really take a good step and provide that secondary side for the Oilers, and to the point where they can't be taken out. And you're okay with the size because they battle hard. They know the system and they can play within it.
Landon Farrar joins us here, Sports 1440. The Oilers, I think the one thing, when I look at their team, I would think the number one thing they are looking for at the deadline will be a scoring winger. I think they need another scoring winger. I think that, well, I know that they were really close to getting Rantanen last year. It's just the package they offered wasn't as good as what Carolina offered. And that's what it came down to. Dallas. So they were clearly, after they went to Carolina. And so they were clearly, you know, they're big game hunting. And the one thing I keep hearing from a lot of people is Connor McDavid doesn't care about having to be the highest paid player. He wants to win. And so if he has to take, and I say less, like 14 or 15 mil, if that extra 2 million could go to them acquiring a bigger name player as a winger, I think that's something to look at. And I just look at the scoring wingers, Landon, and if they could get a finishing, like a guy who's a 35-goal scorer, not a hope 35, but a legit scorer, that would make a big difference for this team.
Well, it would be night and day, right? Like it would make it so much easier to have the two big boys split up. Like, you know, Dreisaitl was, you know, he had Paul Colson for the majority of the year and then kind of cycled through the other side, and he's still able to have everything, like still be at his best and all of it. But you put him or McDavid with another scoring guy that the play doesn't, not everything has to go through them every single time or it doesn't work. Like a guy that could, it can be on and off their stick and that one shot threat, like think of what that opens up. You know, if you know, I'll jump over a little bit talking about the power play, but you know, looking at it 2 years ago to last year, like it was, you know, a lot more stagnant last year. McDavid, you know, is as good as he is, he's, you know, he's unbelievable, best player in the world, but he seemed to defer the shot a lot more.
Yeah,
like if you can bring in that extra guy, now there's another real weapon there, and you don't for the PK, but you know, even at 5-on-5, like you can't focus in as much on the one guy on the ice when they're playing separate. They got to really look to see where the other player is. Like it's just going to open up those two players more, but it'll give them a bit of relief as well of it doesn't have to always come off their stick. And you know, they know that they're the best players. They know that they're the biggest pieces on the team, but it doesn't take, you know, there's still people, like there's still stress there. There's still, they've still got to perform. So, and adding that type of help, would be massive in the long run, but I think it would just give a bit more balance to where you can separate them and feel a little better about it. Because I think at the end of the day, you know, they're starting together, but this team needs to have them on two separate lines.
Oh yeah. Unless they get like a legit, the one player, if this team struggles, and the problem is I'm not sure how Edmonton could make it work, but the one player that I think would be an unreal get for the Edmonton Oilers would be Tage Thompson. He can play any wing position. He can play center. He's big. He's strong. At $7.1 million with the cap going up the way it is, it's an absolute steal of a contract. And he is so hungry to be on a competitive team. I'm a huge Tage Thompson fan. And it would take probably a lot to get him. But that organization, like they've made some very questionable trades in the past. So as it gets closer, Buffalo's out of it again. I know he's got 5 years left at a ridiculous cap hit. He's a guy that I would look at. And I wonder how many other teams. And because I wonder if he just asks out finally. Like if we get to Christmas time, Landon, and they're on their way to 15 straight years of missing the playoffs. I just wonder if Tage Thompson's like, okay, enough's enough.
I mean, if you can somehow make that work, that's, it's almost a no-brainer regardless of what the give-up is. Like, the amount of finishing skill that he has, but again, he has the size. He can play that, you know, kind of in the style of Dreisaitl where there's so much, again, I'm not saying that he's him, but at the same time, like, they're long. And the way that he can protect pucks and wait for plays to develop. He's a good skater. He's powerful. He's got that bomb of a one-timer. Like, again, like, think about those two on opposite sides taking one tease on a power play. Like, it's something that you could get really excited about. I'd be real curious to see how they could make that work, kind of like what you were just saying. But, no, like, if there's a player like that available that you can make work, like that is a huge addition in a way that this team hasn't had someone like that. Even, you know, when Hyman had, you know, his massive year a couple of years ago, and he's a great player, like he's not like dynamic or the potential of dynamic like a Thompson is. Like Hyman is a straight get to the net, you know, good hands in tight and battles, and he does an amazing job at it. But Thompson can move, he can drive play, he can transport a puck. Like it would completely change the look of their top six for sure.
Yeah, 100%. If you look at the Oilers, and what's your expectations for Trent Frederick this season?
I expect him to just steadily get better as the year goes on. I think the game that they played against Vancouver, and then just through the rest of it, I think that he's gotten a bit better. He's starting to understand. Like, everyone thinks it's so easy to just go play with a McDavid or a Draisaitl, but like, you have to really figure out what you do and what they need. Because at the end of the day, they're the best players, and you want to make sure you're doing what's going to make them better, because that's only going to improve your stats and helping the team. So, I think that he's going to, the first little bit is more feel it out and, get used to, getting himself to the front of the net, being really good at retrievals and doing all those things. But slowly, as his game starts to come back, like, he played in the playoffs, but like, that's a tough time to just jump right back in after, especially his injury. Just slowly gain that confidence back and start to try to do more and more, not playing outside of his skill set, but learning where you can use your skill playing with one of those two, right? Like, or both of them as of right now. Like, seeing where, what is the one thing that you can do that is going to benefit them, because it's only going to make him better, and that is being really good at the net front and on puck retrievals. And when you go into that battle, like, knowing how quick that you can win that puck and get it into one of their hands, because that's exactly what you need to happen. So I see him just slowly, getting better and better as the year goes along. I mean, he has the skill. It's just about finding that game again after, a long layoff.
Awesome stuff, Landon. We look forward to having you on every Thursday throughout the season. Appreciate it, man. And we'll see you next Thursday.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.